Well, this morning we are going to be in Daniel chapter 3, so if you want to turn there. I love the way God does things. He doesn't do them the way I want. Obviously, I put this in the bulletin for last week, and I had it all prepared. So I thought, man, this week it's going to be pretty smooth sailing because I've already got the sermon prepared for last week. And he just turned it all upside down, changed it completely because that's not what I needed. And so this week, even to the point of saying, no, you're not preaching what I want. And this is what I want type of in my heart. So we are going to start in verse 8 of chapter 3. So if you're there, if you'd read along with me. It says, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone that hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have paid no due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that the heat of the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, in their trousers, their turbans, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to him, true, O king. He said, look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the administrators, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. And the smell of the fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted him. And they have frustrated the king's words and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own god. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, as we open it up today, I thank you and I praise you for what you have for us. Lord, teach us and speak to us. Lord, may not a person in this auditorium or listening online be able to hear your word today that it does not change them in some way. We thank you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, take this day. Amen. Now, everybody's probably heard that passage at some point in some way in their life. Goes back to Rorschach and Benny, if you go to VeggieTales. But it's that message of these three Hebrew children that were eventually thrown in the fiery furnace. But it goes back before that, but I read enough the way it was. But if you go back, and Daniel was with them in the earlier chapter of Daniel, and they had decided in their hearts that they're not going to defile themselves with the food of the king's table because it was not prepared properly according to the Mosaic law. It had probably, some of the meat had probably been offered to an idol or to someone else. And so to take that meat would have defied the laws of their God. Their relationship with God did not allow them to do that. And so they chose not to defile their bodies with food that was not proper for them. And then here in chapter 3, they decide not to defile their spirit by bowing down to an image or to a man, because that was not their God. And it says, I will worship God only. They will not make a graven image. They will worship only their God. And they took this stance. And so as I'm studying this week, I thought, you know, here it's been over, you know, about 2 years close to it since I've been preaching here. And I've never preached on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I thought, that's kind of odd because that's one that everybody knows. That's one of those go-to ones. But as I got to thinking about it this week and last week, I thought, you know, this message is one of those that everybody should be a little bit familiar with so they'll connect to in some way. And as I think about these three guys, they had been set above some of the provinces. They were kind of like governors. They were in charge of people. Because they'd brought in, they were very intelligent, good-looking young men, and they were trained in the right way, and then after a certain time of training, they were put in charge. And so others that were from Babylon didn't like that, and so they're the ones, the Chaldeans, that decided to do something to get them in trouble. And so they pointed out the fact that they would not bow to this golden idol that he had set up, which is 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and everybody was supposed to bow to it. And they would not do that. And I'm thinking about these three guys. And I see us. I see me. Because they are doing everything that they were supposed to do. They were taking a stance for God that they would not commit a sin by defiling their body. They would not commit a sin by bowing down to something else. They were doing what God had told them to do their whole life. Even though they were taken captive and brought to Babylon and put in the king's service, now they're being made to bow down, and they refuse to do that. They were good people in trouble for doing good things. And we all hear that statement, why do bad things happen to good people? That's not what we're talking about here. And this is a thought that you probably have. Why do bad things happen to God's people? Drop one of those O's out of that, good people. Because these were men that were bound to set and stand for God. Why does God allow bad things happen to His people when they're doing what He wants them to do? We could go on in the Bible to Job, and he could ask that same question. Why are these bad things happening to me when I'm doing what you want me to do, God? And sometimes for us, we know that we're taking the stance that God wants us to take, or should be, and we're living the life that we feel like God has set for us. We're trying to follow the Bible, and it just seems like we are put in the middle of a storm or a trial that just seems like it's rocking our world. Now, none of us have ever been put in front of a fiery furnace and saying, if you don't bow down, you're going to die. We've not faced that. But everybody in here at some point has faced some kind of trial that was totally out of your control. And if you haven't, you've been blessed, but don't expect it to last. Because at some point, you're going to find yourself in a situation that is out of your control, and you're going to be having your eyes on God, and you're going to be focusing on Him, and things are still going to fall apart. Things in your life are still not going to work out the way you feel like they should. We generally ask that question, why are these bad things happening to me when I'm doing what God wants me to do? We ask that question generally when we're focusing on us. When we're jealous of what other people that are not doing what they're supposed to do are getting all the good things. Well, these three men very easily could have asked that question. Maybe they did. Maybe in their mind. Maybe they asked each other. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But I don't believe they did. But I want us to look at why that happens. Why does God allow us to go through those trials, those tribulations, those painful parts of life when we're trying to do what He's called us to do? First thing I come up with is I look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I think, man, what a testimony that these three guys had. Maybe they had talked about, you know, well, we're not going to eat the hamburger because that's not okay. We're not going to eat the pork chops because we're not supposed to have those. We're not going to eat and drink all this stuff that's dedicated to the king. And so we'll just eat something else. And that worked out for them. But deciding whether you're going to eat a hamburger or vegetables, yeah, well, don't ask me. But you know where I'm at. My wife knows where I'm at. But it's one of those things where I can survive the other way. Even if I don't get what I want, I can survive. And they may have thought that going in, but that's not really where their heart was. But here, I wonder if God is saying, are you willing to go through this trial? Man, they step up and the king likes them. He's actually put them in charge of the provinces, so they had a good relationship with him. They were very intelligent, and they were well enough liked that he puts them in charge of the provinces of Babylon, and so it's not like he did not like them. And so he gives them another chance. And so as they're standing there, it's not like the guards aren't real, the ropes aren't real, and the furnace isn't real. It's like right there in front of you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing before the king, and here's the ropes they're going to be tied up with. Here's the soldiers that he's brought in to tie them up. He said, we don't care. Our God can save us, but even if He doesn't, we're not bound to you. Man. I wonder if God sees me when I go into a trial or a storm in my life, if He says, I wonder if Steve's willing to go through this. I wonder if He's really going to, if He believes in me, if He trusts me, if He loves me enough to go into this trial, knowing that, hey, even if He doesn't save me, we'll burn. But I'm still going to love Him. I'm still going to trust Him. He's capable of keeping us out of the furnace. But even if He doesn't, we're still going to love Him. Man, do we have that kind of faith? Do we have the kind of faith to go into the trial knowing that God may say, you're just going to go into the trial and it's going to be there and you're not going to like it? Maybe He wants to see if you and I are willing to go in that trial for Him. Many times when we face a trial and we see it and we try to see our way around it, or we try to see how bad it's going to be or how long that trial might be, how long is it going to last? Can I make it through? I'm focusing on me. But here, I wonder if they will go through that trial for me. Because it had nothing to do with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It had to do with their God on their side. And so they were given the option to bow or die. God puts us in situations, and we've been blessed enough right now in this country that we haven't been put in that kind of situation to bow or die. But I wonder, and this is what God really weighed on my heart, Steve, are you willing to stand up to somebody that is outright sin according to the Bible? Are you willing to stand up knowing that you're going to take the brunt of this trial? You're in the right. You're reading the Bible. You're saying what is right. You're saying what is correct. And all the Nebuchadnezzars out there are going to blast you. They are going to destroy your stance. They're going to do everything they can. Are you willing to stand up for the sin that's in this world, stand against it for me? Too many times we don't take a stand because we're worried about us. If we're thinking about Him, we will take the stand. When we're generally in those situations, in those trials, when I am, man, I'm looking for every way in the world to get out. Don't you? I mean, you know, God places us in a trial. Well, He just wants to see if I can get out. It's like a puzzle box. He wants to see if I can figure out a way to follow Him out of the trial. It's not always that way. Look at what happens. They're willing to go into the trial for Him. But man, look at the benefit that they get. It's for Him, but look at the benefit that they get. Nebuchadnezzar looks in there and he sees four men walking around that are not bound. They're loose. They're walking around in the midst of the fire. A fire that was so hot it killed the men that brought them in. Look at what takes place when you're in the midst of the trial. If I focus on woe is me, then I never see or feel the experience of the fourth man in the fire. Think about that. If they had not stood up, spoke up, and been tossed into the fire, they'd have never walked around with that fourth man. And how many times do I miss out on the experience of walking around with that fourth man because I'm not willing to go into the trial? God, there's surely some other way I can get around this, or I can get out of this on my own. And so I focus on me and I focus on the trial, and instead of focusing on Jesus and spending time with Him, part of the reason for their trial was so that they could experience walking around with one that was like the Son of God. Oh, King, we'll bow. We miss out on all of that. When you bow down, when I bow down to the things of this world, we miss out on the experience of walking around loose. Don't miss that. They were tossed in there, bound up. And only when you go into that trial and you experience the power of God are you truly free. Only He can do that. But we miss that so many times because we're not willing to go into the trial for Him. And then when we're in the trial, we miss the experience because I'm worried about how uncomfortable the trial is. But if I focus on Him, if I allow Him to move, if I allow His experience of time with me in the trial, that when it's out of my control, what do I do? What can I do but to lean on Him? And when I lean on Him, I experience His love, His mercy, His grace, His comfort. that if I don't go into the trial for Him, I never experience those things. Man, I can sit back here in church, and on Sunday nights, sometimes we have testimonies every Sunday night about what God's done. And I can sit here and I can hear everybody else's testimony, and man, it is so cool to hear the testimonies people share. But if I'm never in a trial, then I'm missing out on some testimonies of my own. It's never personal. Now, I'm not saying you have to go through a trial to have a testimony. That's not what I'm saying. But people miss the experience of God's power when they're not willing to take a stand for Him. Man, that could be another whole sermon right there. You know, we just don't stand for Him like we should. And so when we don't stand for Him, we still expect Him to move in us. It doesn't read that way. But if they had never been thrown in the fire, the ropes would have never been removed. If they had never experienced the presence of that fourth man in the fire. But you know what? I thought of this, and this is my strange mind. You see somebody on a boat ramp or a beach or a swimming pool, the edge of a swimming pool, and they've got their life jacket on. They have no idea that life jacket works until they're in the water. You know how many Christians say, well, I got my faith, but they never jump in the water. You never know if your faith is real unless you're willing to step into the trial. God, if you put this trial here in front of me, if you put this fiery furnace here in front of me, I'm going to step in trusting you. And if I burn up, hey, I burned up trusting you. If I drowned, I drowned trusting you. You're God, I'm not. But my faith is real enough, I'm going to act on it. I'm going to step out and say, throw me in the furnace if that's what God wants. Because if that's not what God wants, trust me, that's not what's going to happen. If He doesn't want you in the furnace, you think for one minute that if God did not want Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this furnace, do you think that king would have been able to throw them in? No, because the three people, the soldiers that were going to throw these three people in, they died before they got there. If God doesn't want you to go through a trial, you won't go through it. But sometimes He wants you to go through a trial to see if you'll go through it for Him. He wants you to go through a trial so you can experience His presence in your everyday life. Because it's out of your control and you finally have to admit it. And so you experience the Creator of the universe in your life. Because He's with you in the furnace. Not only do you experience Him, but I love this part. Had they never been in the furnace, they would have never been delivered from the fire. So many times we're like, God, don't let me go through that. Don't let me go through that. Don't let me go through this. But how will you ever know my deliverance if you're not in that situation? If you're not willing to stand in there with me, if you're not willing to spend time in my presence, how can I ever deliver you from that problem? You hear people talk about deliverance. You tell people about it, but have you ever experienced it yourself? Have you ever been in that trial to where you feel like you're grounding and you've bobbed up twice, and you know what they say about that third time? Have you ever got to that point spiritually to say, God, You're my deliverer whether I come up again or not? Too many times we look at it as God promised deliverance, so that means all the troubles are going to be taken away. That's not in the book. That's not in the book. Now, yes, in this case, God brought them out of the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar said, come out, come here. And so in this case, they were able to be brought out of that trial. But you're going to go through trials in this life that the only way out of them is into eternal life. We're all going to go through that trial at some point. But we go through trials knowing that He is our deliverer. Man, when they come out of that fire and all these people gathered around, and we've had bonfires out back, and when I get home, my clothes smell like smoke. I don't jump the flames. I don't walk through the coals. I'm not that type of guy. But I go home and I smell like smoke. And then the next time when we come, hey, don't wear your leather jacket, because when it comes home, you'll never get that smoke out of that. And I'm not even in the fire. These guys were in the fire and didn't even smell like smoke. This past week, I was putting wood in my stove. I don't know if you can see that. I wasn't in the fire, but I was close enough to the stove that it told me to move. And I listened. These guys were in the fire. It was hot enough that it burned off the ropes. And when they came out, their clothes were not even singed. Their hair wasn't singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. Man, they knew they had been delivered from that furnace. Pastor Steve, it seems like they weren't in that furnace very long. Seems like I've been in my storm or in my trial for a long time. Sometimes God leaves us in a storm for a short time. When the disciples were going across the lake and Jesus walked along and he stepped into the boat, storm quit. When Paul is in a storm in Acts, he's in it for 15 days and the ship wrecks. He gets on shore, they swim to shore, and it's still raining. He went through the shipwreck, and he's still in the storm. We don't know how long the storm will last, but we know who will deliver us. We know who can deliver us. And if He chooses not to, that means I see Him that much sooner. We need to understand that He has promised to be with us through our trials and tribulations. That means in the flames, He's with us. In the storm, in the trials that you and I face every single day, if we're willing to step in that trial with Him, for Him, He will be there, but He will also see us through. But we have to have that attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that He'll deliver us, but even if He doesn't, He's going to deliver me and I'll go be with Him. If He delivers me out of the furnace, then I'll go back to being a governor of one of the provinces. But if He delivers me through the flames, I'll be with Him and I won't have to deal with you anymore, King. We need to understand what it means to be delivered by God. Because in this case, He delivered them from the furnace. In our everyday life, He delivers us from trials if we will trust Him, if we'll experience Him. But every one of us have to come to a point in our life of Jesus' deliverance. Because if we're not willing to trust Him, He will never be our Lord and Savior. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're in the biggest trial of your life. You're in the biggest storm of your life. And it's never going to end until you're delivered from it. If you're never delivered from it, then it will last for all eternity. But He promises by the blood of Jesus that He will deliver us. He will redeem us from that bondage of sin. The ropes will be gone. It will no longer control us. He delivered men from a furnace. He delivers us from trials and storms every day. But nothing is more important than the deliverance that He's given us when He died on the cross. When He chose to die on the cross to deliver us from from our sin. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We all read that just a minute ago, or we all heard it read. He died on that cross to deliver me before I was even born. Deliverance is the key. If you get nothing else out of this message, understand that deliverance can only come from one place. The king said, "Hey, come out. Come on out of there. Come here. I see four men in there." But he only called three out. But he called them out. So it's like, oh, well, Pastor Steve, then obviously King Nebuchadnezzar was the one that brought them out. No. God brought them out. God brought them in. God brought them through. And God brought them out. Only he is the deliverer. And if you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, he's waiting there to deliver you today. One other reason here for this furnace or this trial or your trial or your deliverance spiritually. Glory to God. Think about that. This king that sets up this 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, solid gold idol. And says, everybody bow to it. You're going to worship me and my idol. Now he's saying, very plainly, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. There is no other God but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this was not a preacher saying this. This was not a Hebrew child saying this. It wasn't Daniel. It was the king that was trying to get everybody to worship him. He goes on to say, if you worship anybody else, or if you say anything negative about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you will be destroyed. He didn't even believe in God. It wasn't his God, but he saw the testimony. He saw them speak up. He saw them in their trial with that fourth man. He saw them delivered and he spoke up. If you're willing to step into a trial for God, the people around you that don't even know him are going to see what he did. You're going to give them an opportunity to praise God, and they don't even know who God is. He's not their God, but they were able to see, man, I saw what God did in some so-and-so's life. And God will receive glory. That's the whole point of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, of this furnace, of it being written down by Daniel, of it being taught today, is so that God can be glorified. That's why we're alive. Because Jesus Christ loved us enough to die on the cross to redeem us, that we might have a relationship with God, that it would show his love, his mercy, and his grace that's been bestowed on us. That you can do nothing of your own to get to heaven, but only by the grace of God. Give him the glory for that. Not because you're living a good life, because that ain't going to get you there. Not because you're a good person, because that's not going to get you there. The only way you're going to get there is by the glory of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only he can deliver you from the trials you're going through. And as Christians, we go through them all the time. If we don't, something's wrong. Maybe it's because, you know, Pastor, I've not been going through any trials. Maybe you're not willing to step in there. Maybe I'm not willing to go into that furnace. If there's fear of going into a trial, then there's no faith in God to get you through the trial. You have the opportunity to give glory to God every day of your life through the things that you do or the things that you face. Whatever it is, you have an opportunity to give glory to God. He will deliver you. If you've never accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, understand this. Don't go out of this place without knowing that only he can deliver you. And I'm not talking about from, yes, not just the existence of this life, but to life eternal. Only he can give you that. the blood of Jesus Christ, from the only begotten Son of God. He is our deliverer. In Him we trust. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before You and we thank You for Your deliverance. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for everything that You do. Lord, we pray now that You would take Your words and You would move in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, that we might honor You. In Your name we pray. Amen.